Well, this is the same law that was at the last committee meeting. It was not passed.
It was, right. And it was revised a little, but we're going to work on it.
No, this resolution would have set a public hearing. Is all this resolution would have done. And right now there is no public hearing set.
Two more months.
If we do, we
can. You guys can come back next month and fight with me about the same thing.
Okay. Thank you, everybody. That was, thank you.
Maybe you'll be celebrating the Mets World Series.
There you go. Although right now I'm reading about, they're worried about Matt Harvey's shoulder in that.
He pitched a great game.
No, it's the comeback pretty hard.
I mean, I do get a frustration though. If you wanted to have
that. I think we should postpone everything else, Mr. Chairman.
Stop.
Mr. Chairman.
On a lighter note. I'm just saying. That's would have never asked a question. He said he was a nice guy, but
Mr. Chairman,
let me agree with you.
Mr. Chairman, may I? I move we postpone the rest of the resolution.
Come on, let's come on, Legislator Rock.
Come on, quit being a baby. Will you
come on?
The hell off?
Okay, we're going to take a step back now to Resolution 325, setting a public hearing on proposed local law number 14, a local law prohibiting the sale of personal care products containing microbeads in Ulster County.
I move we postpone.
I move it.
To be held on Tuesday, November 10th.
I move it. Motion on the floor. Pass. What
yeah, that, okay, Legislator Ronk does have a motion to postpone. Is there a second?
No, we can talk about microbeads, okay. Which nobody knows what they are, but yeah, we can't talk
pass
about
it. Pass it in New York City.
Okay, Legislator Donaldson has a motion to discuss Resolution 325. Do we have a second?
Pass in New York City.
No.
It's basically...
Second.
Okay, so we don't know what microbeads are. Okay. I found out about it recently myself.
Legislator Donaldson's got the floor.
Basically little pieces of plastic. And so literally when people put their makeup on their bag, they are actually plastering their face. Plastering it up. And what happens is the washing off has actually been found that it's actually beginning to create a little problem. So it makes sense. And actually the deodorant people and a number of these people are actually moving towards getting away from it. They are moving towards it, but some will still continue. Particularly those that like for instance that are produced outside the country and things like that. So it's kind of addresses that issue.
And Legislator Lauren did invite the.
Personal care industry.
The personal care industry to speak at the public hearing and to Skype in. So he did reach out to them and their organization, which is a good thing. So we can hear all sides to it, which is important.
Well, what are the bad things of these things? What are they doing?
Legislative agreement.
Okay, I'll take a crack at it and then you can supplement. You may have more information than I do. But basically, they are small, they wash through, they pass through the sewage treatment, and they get out into the water, and they attract PCBs and other toxins, and then they get into the food chain. That's the major concern.
They're like a sticky little micro thing that they put in their makeup and such.
But they attract medicine getting into the sewer systems
in a way.
It's similar, yeah.
I mean, basically, these things are in toothpaste, right? Toothpaste, facial wash, shampoos, that goes straight into your sewer, right? They go into bodies of water like Lake Erie, like the Hudson River. They'll normally sink and then eventually in certain cases actually rise up. But as Manna mentioned, heavy oils, PCBs, other things will in fact attach themselves to these microbeads,
right,
which is why the Erie County Legislature, for example, passed a ban on these.
Chautauqua
has now passed the ban.
Cattaraugus
has now passed the ban. New York City is passing the ban. I think kind of actually as we speak.
Do you name the products that they are?
Yeah, there's a lot of.
So there'll be a list of 40 products or 140 products.
It's a lot.
Yeah, that will not be allowed to be sold or carried into Ulster County.
Yep.
Actually, if I.
Well, they're not allowed to be sold.
Let's sort of agree.
One of the common products is Crest toothpaste. A lot of different Crest. I went and looked up the list, and a lot of different. Variations of Crest toothpaste have microbeads. There's a lot of toothpaste that don't have microbeads. So the message would be, Crest, take the microbeads out of your toothpaste. And it's none of these products are not available without microbeads, but people have been out of, I think, an innocent ignorance to improve their product, putting them in until we started finding them in fairly large quantities in water and having picked up toxins and then moving through the...
What does the FDA or the EPA say about these things? They must have legislation pending, or they wouldn't allow them in Crest to go into your, be ingested into your body.
Well, you know, most of the stuff is not ingested.
Well, if it's in your mouth...
Well, a little bit, but it's not going to be enough.
But I mean, so we're going to be outlawing Crest?
No, not really.
Just encouraging them to take the microbeads out of their product.
And they have some Crest products that don't have
that.
Some Crest products.
So I was going to say, number one, it's not all Crest, and it's not all any of these things. I mean, it's in some of them, but not all. Like often, like the sparkly ones. But even Mr. Lauren and myself actually met with some of the lobbyists who are working on this, representing these companies. And some of their clients, like Procter & Gamble, have actually said that they're planning on sometime 2015, 2016, actually pulling these things actually out of their products. Now, not every producer is doing that, but many of the bigger ones are, in anticipation of bans. Like, for example, California is actually looking at doing a ban, you know. So that's actually another possibility. And I think in anticipation of that, they're looking to actually stop using it in their products. But one of the things that they actually are also thinking about, they don't want some other lower or whatever, you know, kind of brand that would then use microbeads if they've stopped using it. So they kind of want to shut the door sort of behind them if it's going to go down like this.
Well, is there written information on both sides of this? Yeah, I mean, the EPA and the must have
Pete sent me a nice...
The Attorney General actually has been sort of spearheading this, and actually they have a lot of great literature on this. And I'll make
Well, there's two sides to every story, though.
Yeah.
It'd be nice to get that.
Okay.
Well, the other thing is that actually the major players in the industry are kind of want it to be done in a certain way because they know it's moving forward. Then if it actually gets fully implemented, then all the lower ones who use it more of it are going to have to comply also.
All right,
that's at least my understanding of it.
We have a motion and a second.
One, I want to know if it's the microbeads are listed as microbeads on the ingredient list.
No.
They're not?
No, I don't believe they're listed as something else.
Do you know legislative on keto?
They're not listed as microbeads.
They're not listed. They're listed number as two. It's
there is a list.
They're listed as some type of a chemical that they're a little, well, actually a combination chemical.
Are we going to sub out the enforcement of this?
Number two.
No, better than that, we're going to buy John DeGasperis a lab. We're going to buy him a lab so he can take toothpaste back and make sure it doesn't have microbeads in it.
And number two, obviously, is the penalty on if stores violate this. And is there an opt-out if for stores that, I mean, obviously somebody's got to read the chemical list to see if microbeads in there, or they, you know, if they don't have it or if they're not listed well, is there a penalty for stores that, say, get fooled by selling a product that may or may not have it?
What about hobby sellers of personal care products?
Do you know what they call the microbeads when they're listed in the Crest?
He's right. You've got to have some chemical name.
It does, and on top of that, I'll actually get that for you. I don't have it on top of my head.
It's a combination.
Let's set the greens next.
But there are clear lists. In other words, people have done the research, and there are very clear lists. Because that was when I heard about this, that's the first thing I did was research. I want to know how many products I was using.
Yeah.
And so the lists are clear. So a vendor would have no trouble identifying, even though,
that's what this is.
To my knowledge, FDA hasn't required that you put this product contains microbeads on the label.
Is a fine $2,500 for something
of
this thing? I mean,
well, I'm still on the
phone. And the other question is: has the state been doing anything on this?
No, state watches to do.
It would be nice to get the transcripts from the committees up there to see what they have to say.
Mr. Chair.
Yeah, let's.
Thank you. The assembly did, I believe, actually, it was either introduced or even made in the past. I believe it was actually introduced in the Senate. I don't believe it was actually moved. And that's
it's
actually
Tom
where.
Tom O'Hara, right?
Yeah, I think it's O'Hara. Yeah. I think it's O'Hara who actually got it. But yeah, no, it's been brewing in Albany for quite some time. And that's actually partly where I think several counties actually have been pushing this as well, is I think they actually do want to actually see state action. But, you know, like I said before, you've already got many major counties at this point moving forward with their own bans. And I think part of the hope actually is eventually a statewide, you know.
Does the state legislature only allow for 25 microbeads? And we're going.
Can I ask you a question, though?
Kenny?
I am concerned about the expense of the fine. Uh-huh. I mean, is there any way we could lower that number for first offense? Or second, you know, the first two be small.
I mean, part.
I mean, you'd hate to have somebody walk in and find somebody $2,500.
I understand. A small I'm not store. Look. I'm not wedded. I'm not wedded
right,
to $2,500. But you also want to make this where it's, you know, it's not $5. You know what I mean? You want to be able to. You know,
listen, maybe if it's a chain store, it could be a higher price. If it's a mom and pop store, it could be a little, because $2,500 is going to put a mom and pop store out of business.
Well, how would they know what it's in it, though? Do they have to know the chemical? You got to be a chemist.
It's just plastic. It's
probably.
Yeah, but how would the owner of the business
know? If I could, Mr. Chairman.
From what
available
the products coming in, which are on it and which aren't on it.
There are available.
No, that's all right.
More snotty thing to say, I promise.
It's plastic.
You would just stop being snotty.
You know what I mean?
If you want votes for other things.
Are we going to supply them a list?
Just one.
Go ahead.
Yeah, they're very available, widely available.
But it's wrong.
This is my last time, I promise. This is my last time, but this is a good one, I think. Now, for sellers of Avon products, does this open up? Does this open them up to inspections of their home in violation of the Fourth Amendment?
Oh, yeah. Kenny.
Yes.
There, I'm done.
Kenny.
Thanks. I'm done.
I just have the only legal question I have is there's no administrative hearing. So what happens is someone comes in and says, that's a microbead product. What if I say...
Well, actually, if memory serves, they're actually able to be able to be prosecuted, aren't they, for that fine?
It's kind of hard.
It's a violation, isn't it?
It's a violation, I think.
All it says is enforcement. The local law shall be enforced by the county through the Ulster County Department of Ways and Measures. So they give you a ticket, and you go to court, I'm assuming?
Yeah.
Okay.
Go to criminal court, civil court,
It's a civil penalty. Yeah. You get charged a fine.
So it goes through the court process.
Yes.
Okay.
And it says not to exceed, if you want to lower that, I'm not going to go.
But it says not to exceed, so it could be $100 for the first one. It leaves discretion.
Yeah.
Well, could we put first no more than 100 first offense, and then put the rest of it back? At least give somebody a pass the first time.
If you want a penalty not to exceed $500, fine.
Going to get this and say,
if you want to curtail it more, I'm actually not going to fight that. That's not the end point. But yes, I mean, that's why it says not to exceed. Because you want to give judges discretion. That said, if you want to even kind of curtail that even further.
I think a warning from your first thing would be a warning. You're doing this, and you can be fined at the
$2,500.
We'll be back tomorrow to get the crap off the street.
So if you wanted to change that,
so how do we
I'm
do
not
that?
Gonna,
can we do it on the floor tomorrow for the public hearing? Would we do it?
Well, we should do it now.
Are you the spot? We got sponsors here.
Yeah,
Hector.
And
I mean, what do you want to do for the first offense?
I mean.
You need Peter and Hector both to agree on it.
Second first offense all. Should be something like...
No, I like the $5,000 for the second offense.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Well, I like
the, I'll leave that part. What about $500 for the first offense, $2,500 for the second offense, $5,000 for the third, and
my
subsequent?
Take on it is, you know what, my take
is that
on
a big
it
deal
is,
for everybody?
Well, that's fine.
My take on it is really, I mean... It probably shouldn't even be a fine if somebody, the first offense. If somebody says, like you said, what if these people don't know?
You hope
what
our county
doing?
Staff is going to do the right thing and not, if they
and
do.
And the media. The media will let people know. If this passes, it's a big deal.
Right. So $500 for the first offense, what was it for the second offense?
$25,000 and $5,000.
They want to help you. They're shitting them. Okay?
All right. Is your motion on those numbers to amend it?
I will.
I know it's not.
I'll second. Like, all in favor of the amended, as amended, Section 5 penalties?
Is that all right?
That's fine.
Okay.
Can I ask Cappy to write up the language
Well, I mean, yeah. And it's just,
are you speaking for Bill Warren on this?
I am. Okay. He will not have a problem with that, although you literally just have to make it. You just need to change that 2,500 to 500 and change the second one to 25 and then just add in a third line that says for the third offense.
This is going to be local law. I thought you didn't like those local laws.
Okay, let's...
All right. Behave.
Yep, you can talk.
You behave too.
Dave. Whoa, Dave. The guys. Come on, guys. I've been pretty lenient. Let's go. Come on.
You made a big stink.
Come on.
About a local law.
And I got a question.
Yep, you for.
It says here, and all this stuff is good, but this waste is released into streams, rivers, lakes, and oceans through sewage overflows. Are they a daily basis? I mean, I don't know of an overflow in the Boyceville treatment plant yet. Or by passing through sewage treatment plants not designed to remove such tiny particles. How many sewage treatment plants in the town of in Ulster County do we have that are second rate, that are not designed to remove these tiny particles?
We'll give you an example. If I could, and it's not an example directly from Ulster County because I'm not aware personally of any, but I'm sure that there were. During Irene and Lee. There was a huge problem with the Newburgh, the town of Newburgh sewage treatment plant, the city of Newburgh sewage treatment plant, which released into the Hudson. And
city of Kingston had the same problem.
The city of Kingston had the same problem when they release into the Hudson. And, when the system is in a state of overflow, because a lot of the, especially the ones that flow into the Hudson, because they were designed that way, when there's an overflow in the stormwater system.
Which is worse, the sewage or the beach that overflows? I mean, there's probably not a $5,000 fine for the sewage.
Well, there is. There's humongous, outrageous fines.
Unknown
fine
number
sewage,
of beads.
Bigger than that.
Are there a lot of beads that this is happening?
Again, I don't know. I'm just throwing out there there are issues with overflow releases.
Tons a day? Tons a week?
Yeah, we didn't vote on that yet.
Nobody knows yet.
Nobody knows because
it's a new problem that's trying to be addressed. Nobody knew PCBs were bad in the day, and they dumped them all in the Hudson. And now one of the allegations is that the microbeads actually absorb PCBs and cause even more problems.
I understand, but olive oil used to be bad for us. Now they tell us to drink it.
Fair enough.
So come on.
Okay, Legislator Green, did you want to say something?
Yeah, I think overflows may not be. They're different. When you think of overflows, you think of the big storms. These pass through no matter what. That's the problem, is that they're very small. Mm-hmm. If they were, big enough that you were aware of them, then you would see them when people put makeup on, or you would, taste them in your mouth when you brush your teeth. And the other thing is that there are abrasives, like apricot shells and cocoa beans, that don't have the same property of attracting toxins. So that's
the resolution says not designed to remove such tiny particles.
They are not. Yes.
None are then. So that's not even necessary. You could say no sewer treatment facilities can remove these particles. Is that accurate?
In most cases, it may be something
if they use diatomaceous earth or something of that nature, they may be able to. I don't know, but it's probably not. I don't know.
We want to have the public hearing, and then we can discuss it from there.
And we'll get more information that way.
All right, so we have a motion and a second on the fines. Let's all in favor of changing the fines to 500, 2,500, 5,000. Opposed, carried 6-0. So now, as amended on the resolution, to set a public hearing. So I have a motion, Legislator Ronk, second by Legislator Green. All in favor? You want to speak?
To explain my vote, I'm just flabbergasted that all of a sudden we want to hear from the public, but that's fine. Okay.
Have a round table.
Okay.
We will protect the dogs. No, we won't.
Okay.
I guess you voted. I'm sorry.
No, we didn't vote.
But is there anybody who, not here, but in the world, in the system, who says this is not a big deal? This is not serious. It's
well,
not
we've invited the companies. The companies are going to be at the public hearing by either Skype or here. So we are having a public hearing. We're not voting to pass this tonight. So we're going to hear another side of the story.
Okay.
And there's time to research it. So there's still this law still has to come back before committees again. Proposed law. Okay, so we all in favor of right. setting a public hearing. Aye. Aye. Opposed? Carried 6-0. Okay. Resolution 362, adopting proposed local law number 9, a local law known as the False Alarm Reduction Act. Do I have a motion?
Move. None. Second.
Okay. Legislator Ronk moved it. Legislator Donfeld second it. Any discussion?
Well, this is
all in favor?
I think we beat the death.
It's okay.
Yeah, we beat this today.
Yeah, it's the death. Not quite. Now. We're about to pass it.
Okay, so we have a motion, second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
All right.
I know.
Let's say green or four.
No, we need, like, detective lieutenant.
The false alarm one.
Yeah. I'm in favor of it.
Okay, so pass 5-1.
Okay. Who voted no?
Let's say
oh.
What was your concern again, if I may?
More regulation.
It's Republican.
It's a conservative principle, Kev. Less use of police less misuse of police resources.
That's fine. Okay.
That's a liberal argument.
Resolution 363, adopting proposed local law number 16, local law amending local law number 1, a local law to prohibit soliciting, peddling, or vending of any county-owned property. This is allowed the county-owned leased buildings by veterans and disabled members of Ulster County.
I'll move it.
I'll second it.
May I, Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, I just want to commend Chairman Parody for bringing this forward. I think it's an excellent idea. I can tell you that Chairman used some of the money out of the legislative budget, some savings that we'd had, to hire, help me out, what's her name?
Brianne,
to come and help with filing and help with sign-in, and it's just such, that's such an awesome, program that the chairman started that, I think that this is a great way to expand that, not only to persons with disabilities, but also, to veterans. I think it's a fantastic idea, and I look forward to supporting it tomorrow night.
Great. Let's say Donaldson.
I know for the longest time when I was served as a councilman in the city of Kingston, it was Larry was a gentleman that ran he was blind, and he ran a concession stand right there.
Justino.
And he was always amazing how he knew the difference between a $5 and $1 bill. I don't know how he did that. But he was able to do that, and he was there for a very long time. The entire 8 years that I served on the council, he was there, and, he sold gum at that time, cigarettes. At that time, people smoked right on the floor, blood on the floor of the council. So, I would like to see that, happen here. I think it's a great thing because people get used to it.
Smoking on the floor.
No, not smoking on the floor. No, I don't want that.
Put ashtrays in the beach.
But it was. Well, they did have the ashtrays. They then people smoked away on the floor. But it was. It made other people come in. Interact. And I think that's great. It's that great that interaction. You get to know the person personally, and it's a good thing.
Okay. No, that's great. So, okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried 6-0. We're almost there. We got two left. Resolution 364, setting a public hearing on proposed local law number 17 to modify the appointment process of the audit committee and clarify the authority of the said committee.
Move it for discussion.
Second.
Legislator Green, second.
Mm-hmm.
Legislator Roberts. Ronk.
Ronk.
I'm spelling my name wrong as I'm saying your name wrong.
I would move that we postpone this resolution for a month. I had sponsored, I and some other members of our caucus had sponsored a change almost identical to this, except, there's a couple of sections that are different. And the county executive, of course, vetoed it, which I thought was hilarious. The county executive vetoed a local law that would take his veto of something away. I thought that was a relatively entertaining turn of events. But my biggest issue with this is that this includes referendum required material and non-referendum required material. And I don't think that that should all go on the ballot. I think that whether or not we have an independent auditor and a budget consultant as the same company is a separate issue from the way that we handle whether or not the county executive gets to veto our choice of auditor. If we want to make a policy as a legislature that the auditor and the budget consultant should not be the same company, that's a perfectly valid discussion to have, and 12 legislators, because I'm sure the county executive wouldn't veto that, 12 legislators could get to decide whether we have that as a policy or not. I think that when we send something to the voters, it's a very important thing for us to do. It's a very important thing for the voters to vote on, and I don't think that we should send them minute policy issues that are a policy issue for the legislature. We you know, they delegate the responsibility to pass policy to us by electing us to the legislature. We should only send them things that are required for a referendum. So I make a motion that we postpone this until we can, come to an agreement on that.
Okay, let's say Donaldson.
I will agree with the...
Are you going to second it?
Okay,
there's a motion discussion on a regular...
Yeah, we can discuss that first.
Oh, okay,
Section
fine.
4, I agree. Because
I withdraw my motion, then, I guess.
There is not, people may argue that there appears to be some type of a conflict, but there is not really a conflict because they're not.
I don't know.
They if you hired somebody to do that, do the our budget and do the audit of his books, that's not in conflict because they're not auditing their own work.
Agreed.
So, therefore, it's not a conflict. But if you feel it's in conflict, I will agree with Legislator Rock. If we felt that it is, we want to make that policy, fine. But I don't believe that should be part of a... Because there's a lot of things, there's a lot of benefits to the other aspect. And to having both. A, you save a hell of a lot of money because people already ran through the books because he's got to run through their budget and recommend certain things that we can do with the budget. And then auditing is just merely, was the county executive, did he spend the money the way they said he was going to spend it? Or the way the legislature said it had to be spent? That's what the audit does. So my take on it, they are not in conflict, but I certainly understand how some people would think that they may be. And if that's, sometimes just the matter of an appearance is enough, even though it may not be conflict. So, that would be up to the legislature to make that decision, not the voters to be dealing with an issue of that, that type of policy. You know, it would be like asking the voters to, support whatever our rules of the legislature are. You know, that we have to change them at points. So my take on it is I agree with them. That should actually be removed.
Talk about whether we should ban microphones.
Okay.
I'm good.
You're good?
Okay.
Legislator Green, anything? Legislator Rock.
Oh. Thank you.
Oh. I didn't know if you want to say anything. No, you're up good.
Okay. I can tell you that, the only part of this that I don't like, the only part of this that I am personally opposed to having in here is Section 4. So if we postpone this, we go back to the sponsors and speak to them. I can tell you that I've had personal conversations with two of the three sponsors, and this was never a part of the discussion until the third sponsor, Mr. Lauren, came along and signed on to it, and all of a sudden this was a part of it. And to me, I spoke with
Lynn about it.
And to me,
she saw that it wasn't really a conflict.
Whether it's a conflict or not, it's
not a conflict. The state said it's not a conflict.
I agree with you.
Mike Kine issued a press release, and a bunch of legislators started saying it. They've got opinions from the state, and nobody has ever said it's a conflict.
I agree that it's not a conflict, but that having been said, again, to me, it's a decision for the legislative body to make about whether we believe it's a conflict or not. And absent Section 4, I think I'd be willing to support this. Okay. Even though I think that the one that we passed and was vetoed should have been overridden.
Okay, Chairman.
I agree with you. Correct that. I would have voted that the process for this is
you voted yes.
Is ensconced in the charter.
That's right.
Is that correct?
The process to pick the audit.
Yeah.
Yes,
it
already is in the charter.
Part of the
The charter has been around, maybe modified a little bit, been around since 2006 when it was passed.
No,
effective 2008.
Eight it started. No, nine.
It was on the ballot. Okay, whatever.
January 2009. Now I would love to hear. Well, Legislator Lauren is a sponsor. Tell us why. What is the rush for these kind of things that have to be possibly corrected by public vote. I wish the sponsors were here, in particular, from what I just heard, Legislator Lauren. Let them explain why this is important.
Yeah, no, I agree.
I mean,
all right, I'm going to second Legislator Ronk's proposal.
Can I ask to
postpone.
Yeah. This won't go on the ballot until next year.
Exactly. Okay, so there's a motion and a second to postpone.
Agreed.
I think the next legislature.
Should be actually dealt with.
Motion to postpone.
January.
Yeah, this on the ballot next November.
It goes in November anyway. Yeah. So anybody that we do, they can undo.
Yeah.
Technically. So
motion to postpone.
You know, I second.
If you're going to do a charter revision, it's not going to be on the ballot till November next year at best.
Yeah.
If you want it on November next year, because it's going to be, you know,
presidential.
Is it a presidential? Yeah, so they'll be on the vote, so that'd be fine. So why do it now at this point?
It should be taken up in January.
There's always amendments floating around to amend the charter. Maybe you ought to put them together.
We do.
Have them done at one time.
But we can start
or join together.
For the most, we can start in January. Then we can build up a number of them up until November, until we have to get the numbers in, and then have them all linked on at the same time as one charter revision.
Move the question.
Yeah, move it. All in favor?
Right.
I oppose.
You oppose postponement. Okay. You know what, though? In the future, and I'll tell Legislator Lauren, if they're going to do this, they should be at the meeting. Or at least reach out to us. You know, you're going to put these laws in or change them at the last...
I can tell you, I've been here to take all of the abuse for the 16 times that the pet seller's law has been here. I've taken all the abuse all myself.
All I know is I asked that the various different versions be brought together. I thought they had been... seem to be consensus in our caucus, so I'm not clear on why we need to postpone, so that's why I'm voting no.
That's fine.
Because they shouldn't have that Section 4 in there.
I'm not clear on why we have to postpone the dog law, but we postponed it anyway, so.
I'm sorry.
And right now, our committee goes through the legislature. So why are they changing
it? All right, the next one.
It went through the legislature last year and the year before. So why are they changing? Why do you want to change it when it goes through the legislature? They're changing something that's already being done. It doesn't make a lot of sense.
All right, well, let's go on to the next one.
I don't think they understand it. Okay. Resolution, last one. Resolution 386, setting a public hearing on proposal for law number 18 of 2015 to modify the appointment process of the Charter Revision Commission.
I'll move it for discussion.
Second.
The purpose of this being here today is to lay it on the table. There's never a rush on these things. That's why this other one kind of interests me. This is a resolution to amend the charter to discuss, in particular, when the county executive issued his 3-page veto message on the auditor, it raised some serious questions in my mind. They could be right, could be wrong. I mean, I said at the last meeting, the thing that got me, that really captured my attention, was when he said, when the chairman, whomever that may be, could get 3 appointments to the audit board, and the minority leader would get 2, the chairman could have undue influence and rig the bid.
That was his
press
release.
Rig the bid is very serious allegation,
my friend. That was his press
friends.
Release.
Very serious.
Imagine that. Calling people dishonest.
And I'm some ways appalled that nobody has ever
secretary brought
it up. However, I said, well, is there a perception that the chairperson could rig the bid? And it's wrong, so I went. And I started reading the charter. And one of the first things I came to was the Charter Review Commission, where the executive gets 5 appointments. The majority gets 3, and the minority get 3. Right there, they enter the same rig the bid concerns, because the executive, whomever it might be, gets 5. Their party gets three. There's eight out of the 11. Also, in the executive's veto message, he said that it shouldn't be any outsiders on the audit committee. It should be legislators. Well, maybe the legislators ought to be the ones to appoint all the members. You want to throw it out there? I was here when this thing was formed. It was some legislation that some of these folks at the table passed to get this thing done. We thought public government, citizen activity, citizen action, citizen involvement was fine. Maybe we should have the legislators appoint the 11 members, but maybe they should only be legislators if you take the executive at his position. So I've set out a position paper on it for questions and answers and thought, but it's not for tonight, folks.
I'm prepared to vote on it.
And I'm looking for comments as to why this is wrong and that's right, or that was wrong and this is wrong, or whatever the story is.
Because Mike, the executive wants to run the legislature and he wants to run the executive's office.
Well, I'm not even getting into that. Well, I'm not even getting into that.
My take on it is the charter was created by the legislature. It was a legislative initiative that created the charter. And the legislature is a deliberative body. Hence, it's a little more difficult for them to make a decision on things than the county executive. And it's meant to be that way. But a charter revision, I think it's wrong when the county executive has five members to appoint. I think he has undue influence. And I really believe that if you're going to do this in a manner that is much more above board, I would rather see maybe, four by the minority, four by the majority, and then, three appointed by the...
No. Or if the executive gets five, three, the opposite party gets five.
No. They should all be done by the legislative body, and then the other three, like four and four, and then the eight people agree on three other people.
Kind of like
redistricting commission. Yeah. I think that makes much more sense. There's still room for, let's face reality. It's a human, we're all human, so things happen in those types of things, but you really wanted to at least have the least amount of influence from outside as you could possibly do when you bring in that commission. Now, the commission's going to be listening to everybody anyway. I know the last commission we sat down, I had my opinions. I had a number of things that I pushed to put in there. One of the things being, for instance, we choose our we did that with the legislature. We choose our clerk, and that clerk is chosen by the body as a whole. I think it made sense because what you're doing is you're creating continuity, and you need that type of continuity. Now, if the person wasn't doing a good job, they wouldn't be able to get that vote. And at the same time, they could easily be thrown out if a majority doesn't want that person. But for instance, the person we have right now, they were appointed by Republicans and Democrats, and I would assume that Vicky would probably continue serving that position, and that's so that way it's the whole body that had to do it. But anyway, there's a number of other little things. But so my take on it is, I really think it should be possibly. I don't know. I mean, I'm throwing that out as a 4-4 and three are chosen. But I really do think I agree with the idea that they should be chosen by the majority, chosen by the legislature. And there should not, the executive already has enough power, and they'll have influence anyway because they have influence over the legislature.
That's okay.
Yeah, I just want to, for the record, say that when I was looking at the wrong section 4, I'm not going to change my vote, but I just, for the record, want to say that I was looking at section 4 for resolution number 386 and 3 instead of 364. We are now talking about 386, and I support both of these.
So do you want to pass it?
Do you want to change your vote? Manna, did you want to?
No, she said no.
I don't want to.
May I offer that this was just laid on the table for thought and discussion.
Okay.
I'm not asking for it to be passed or rejected or just no action.
But I think
I'd love folks and tell me what they think is good, bad, or indifferent. And whatever ideas you might have, and
well, it seems like the committee is in support of it.
Well, here's the Mr. Chairman. I'm not opposed to, you know, because we're not taking appointments away from the executive. We're just adding an additional level of oversight. But if you'd like to wait a month and see if anybody has any more comments, I'm fine with that. If you want to move forward now, I'm fine with that too.
I'd like to wait.
Okay.
I think this is too important.
Then
to even ask anybody, ask you good folks to.
Okay, so is a motion to postpone?
In respect for the chairman who's sponsoring it, I make a motion. We postpone this for a month, allow some comment by some other members of the legislature. Maybe, you know, we'll discuss it and with some of our colleagues and see. But again, I don't necessarily think that it's a bad thing to have another level of oversight, and obviously, you know, given the you know veto message on the audit committee, neither does the executive.
No, it's his own comments.
And could I just say this? If you want to postpone it, that's fine. One of the problems that I've seen in the few years that I've been here is we got to do something. Postpone it, vote it down. Why can't we just say, here's something for you to think about?
Well, there has to be a mechanism for us to bring it back.
And then in a month or two, somebody could say, we've had some good discussions, let's move it.
Well, I think we should be, you know, move. We can actually work on this, but it should be taken up in January with the new legislature. And, I mean, I will push to do this. And the other item, I have no problem with the, you know, changing, of course. As per what Ron pointed out, and I agreed on.
Okay, so there's a motion and a second to postpone. Legislator Green seconded it. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? You're opposed, Jay?
Oh, sorry.
Okay. We're winding down. Anybody have any new business? Anybody have any old business?
Motion to change the start time next month back to 6 o'clock?
Well, yeah, let's discuss that. Do you guys want to change to just move the start time to 6 or keep it 6:30? Is there another meeting before this?
No, it's just I have a long drive from. And
can we keep it at 6:30?
I'm fine with 6:30.
Does that mess you up, Brad? Let's keep it 6:30.
Yeah,
I was thinking that too. And then
I had a tickler just to remind you that you talked about it.
Okay, all in favor of adjourning?
Watching the China.
I oppose. Nobody.
Go down the tubes again.
Listen. The reason it's going to go down to 2 is because of the clown next door.
You didn't write the chart.
You know what? You're wrong.